Come on, Nations Youth, why don't you give it up for Jesus in this place tonight? Praise the Lord. Hey, is anyone in this place, just before you take your seats, is anyone in this place feeling a little bit joyful? Come on. The joy of the Lord is powerful. The joy of the Lord is beautiful. You guys can be seated. Thank you for praising and worshiping with us. Incredible. The joy of the Lord. Someone say the joy of the Lord. Someone say the joy of the Lord with a bit of conviction. Come on. You know, young person, this term theme, the joy of the Lord, has been fantastic. It's been powerful. In fact, I'd love to see by show of hands, who's actually experienced the joy of the Lord for themselves this term at all? Hallelujah. Especially Pastor Matt, come on. I want to tell you guys tonight that the joy of the Lord is freely accessible and available to every single one of you in this place. And as I was praying into tonight and as I was prepping for this sermon, I just got the sense, and I so believe there are people in this place tonight, and you have discredited yourself from encountering the joy of the Lord because of a belief about your life circumstance. There are people in this place who believe, oh, because my life is difficult, because there are certain things that I've been going through, the joy of the Lord is not for me. Or maybe you've responded to an altar call before and you sought the Lord to receive that joy and you haven't felt like it's come. Young person, I want to tell you, the word of God tonight is going to set you free. It's going to break those chains off your life, and the joy of the Lord is going to come upon this place. Are you ready to receive the joy, young person? Incredible. One last time, why don't you praise Jesus? Give it up for the King of Kings. And give it up for our incredible worship team. Thank you so much, guys. You're free to leave. God bless you. The joy of the Lord. If you've been sleeping under a rock, or living under a rock rather, you might not know that our term theme is the joy of the Lord. Someone say the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord. I don't know why I said sleeping under a rock, but anyway, praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord. I want to tell you, young person, the joy of the Lord is beautiful. It's a powerful thing. In fact, you might not realize this, but the joy of the Lord is actually one of the greatest tools that we have in our arsenal as a Christian. Shout out Arsenal. I don't care about Arsenal. It's just a little, that's just for Matt, bro. The joy of the Lord, the Bible tells us, is our strength. Someone say our strength. Now, this is actually vital, and it's important for us as Christians, and here is why. We live in a very broken world. We live in a world that is very desperate for Jesus, very desperate for healing and breakthrough. And if I'm honest with you, we're not immune to those things as Christians. We're not immune to sickness. We're not immune to disease. We're not immune to the things that happen in this world that are so broken. But let me tell you, the very thing that God has given you to carry yourself through the journey of life here on earth with your eyes fixed on heaven is the joy of the Lord. See, the joy of the Lord is a strength. It is a supernatural tool that sets you apart as a Christian. And let me tell you, by the way, young person, one of the greatest testimonies of your life to non-believers is the joy that you actually carry. See, it's all good and well to say words, but let me tell you, words are cheap. You can tell people whatever you want in this life, but when they see the joy of the Lord in your life, they cannot deny the existence of the Savior. The joy of the Lord is vital. And so this term, young person, can I please encourage you not to allow it to be a term theme about making yourself feel good or being happy-go-lucky, but understanding that as a disciple of Christ, you are called to be set apart and to carry the joy of the Lord for yourself. With that said, as I mentioned before, I'm aware there are many people in this place tonight who maybe you've struggled with the joy of the Lord to a certain extent. And you know, I know that there's many people in this place who you have different circumstances in your life that maybe not a lot of people know about. You know, maybe your home life isn't that great. Maybe you've been experiencing some trials in your friendship groups. Maybe there are some inner things going on in your mind, depression, anxiety, things that you're battling with. And maybe because of that, you've discredited yourself from being able to encounter the joy of the Lord. I've got good news for you, my friend. The joy of the Lord is for every Christian. Not just the extroverted ones, not just the ones who have a good family life, not just the ones who don't struggle with depression. The joy of the Lord is for every person that calls on the name of Jesus. No one is disqualified. And I want to prophesy this to you tonight. I want to break some chains in this place. I want to speak some truth. Some of you need to hear this. God did not assign a life of pain to some of you and a life of joy to others. Yes, We are all born into different circumstances, and that dictates very much how our life goes. And we live in a broken and fallen world. But let me tell you, each and every one of you have the same access to the joy of the Lord as the next person. You have the same access to the joy as I do. I have the same access to the joy as Pastor Matt and Aaron Cabay. We all have the same access to the joy of the Lord. And I want to read you the scripture today from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. It'll come up behind me. It's very short, but it says this. Rejoice always. Someone say rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Put your hand up nice and high if you believe it's important and a good thing to follow the will of God for your life. Yeah? Great. Most hands in this place. I want to tell you guys, the title of my sermon today, we're going to jump straight into it, is simply Rejoice Always. Someone say, Rejoice Always. Now, the goal of this sermon is I'm going to teach you guys to be people that, believe it or not, rejoice always. That rejoicing would be a natural first response for you as a Christian. But before we do that, I think it's important to understand what rejoicing actually means. And so, for that reason, I'm going to give you the definition of what it means to biblically rejoice, which is this. To express deep joy, gladness, delight, celebration, and gratitude, primarily in response to who God is, what He has done, or what He's promised. Now, if you don't know, rejoicing looks like a lot of different things, but to name a few, rejoicing looks like praising God in song. It looks like praise and worship, which we just did earlier. It looks like celebrating the victory of Jesus on the cross, jumping before the Lord with joy. I actually believe that rejoicing before the Lord looks very much like what King David did in the Bible when he danced undignified before the Lord. And the interesting thing about the word rejoice, you probably don't know this, but it actually comes from an old French word that I'm not going to bother trying to pronounce. I'm not doing it. But when breaking that word into two pieces or two points, it translates directly, well, you guys are trying to get me to stuff up, man. It translates directly to again joy. I'm going to say that again because you were fixated on the French word. The French word rejoice, when you break it up, literally translates to again joy. Someone say again joy.
Again, joy.
Turn to your neighbor and say joy again.
Joy again.
Young person, I want to tell you tonight that the word rejoice, the action of rejoicing, is not just a fleshly reaction when things are going well in your life. It's not just about jumping up and down at an altar. The word rejoice literally means to return to joy. To reincorporate joy back into your life. To restore the joy of the Lord to your heart. To fill yourself with joy again. And maybe you're in this place, and again, as I said before, you felt a lack of joy, and maybe it's been hard for you recently. I've got good news for you, young person. If you're someone in this place and you've said, well, I struggle with the joy of the Lord because my life is difficult, you're the exact target audience for rejoicing. Because rejoicing is not reacting to a good circumstance, it's inviting the joy of the Lord back into your heart even when it's not. And as I mentioned, the joy of the Lord is available to all of us, but I'll tell you, it is up to you to steward in partnership with the joy of the Lord. It doesn't fall into your lap. It doesn't just appear out of nowhere. It doesn't come permanently at an altar. And yes, I'll be clear, you can, and in Jesus' name tonight, you will experience the joy of the Lord at the altar. But a joyful life doesn't come about by accident or one moment with God. It comes about by a life cultivating a rejoicing atmosphere and environment for yourself and your relationship with the Lord. And so today we're going to learn how to rejoice in all circumstances. Point number one, if you're taking notes today, is simply this. To understand that joy is not always happiness. Now, joy is not always happiness. Now, yes, those two things often correlate. And they often coexist. Often, if you're happy, you'll find it's easy to rejoice, as it naturally would be. But I've got to tell you that those two things are not mutually exclusive, which means they can actually exist apart from one another. See, the definition or a description of happiness is that it usually depends on your circumstances. Happiness usually comes about by experiences, by achieving success. Happiness changes daily. It's subject of change. It comes and it goes sporadically, and there's no controlling it. Biblical joy, however, is rooted in God's character, can exist during suffering is a deep confidence and delight in the finished work of the cross, despite your circumstances. Young person, happiness is an emotion or a feeling, but joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And so we're going to read the fruits of the Spirit. They're going to come up on the screen again. There it is. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, someone say the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know what I love about the fruits of the Spirit? Is that not a single one of them are dictated by your circumstance or your environment. We're going there tonight. See, as a Christian, we should all know that we are called to demonstrate, to bear the fruits of the Spirit regardless of what's happening around us. What that means is God did not say, yeah, demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit to those who also demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. Rather, as Christians, we know we are made to love those who hate us, to love and be kind to those who persecute us. As Christians, we are made to bring peace and experience peace in environments where there is no peace. We're called to be patient with those who are harsh and rough with us. And the interesting thing about the fruits of the Spirit is that they're all similar in that regard, including joy. See, the same way that every other fruit of the Spirit is called by the Lord to be exercised regardless of your circumstance, joy is no different. And I want to tell you tonight, young person, that it's actually okay to feel upset. It's okay to experience human emotion. That's part of living on this earth. You will be upset. You will get sad. You will be happy every now and again. But what I'll tell you as well is the same way that when you are insulted by someone, you have to consciously make the choice to respond in love, to respond in patience, to respond in kindness. When you find yourself in a circumstance where life just isn't treating you the way you'd like to be treated, your choice is to respond with the joy of the Lord and to rejoice in who God is. Happiness and the way you feel is irrelevant, because rejoicing, again, is not responding to a circumstance. It's inviting the joy of the Lord back into your life. Joy can be experienced at all times. Praise the Lord for that. How good. Point number one, understand that joy is not always happiness. And point number two, live with an eternal perspective. Write it down while I drink. I've been told by so many people that, like, they always count how much I drink water on the stage, because apparently I do it a lot. So feel free to take notes about it. I don't care. Hebrews 12:2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Someone say Jesus. The pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, young person, this scripture is interesting because we can actually read the account of Jesus right before he's crucified in the Gospels. And the Gospels tell us that Jesus was aware the hour had come. He knew that he was about to be arrested and captured and crucified and murdered before hundreds of people. And in that moment, Jesus, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He begins to pray to the Lord. And the Bible records that Jesus was so filled with stress and anxiousness and grief that he physically begins to sweat blood. He's anxious in heart and he prays and he says, Lord, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. So Jesus outwardly confesses, God, if there's any other way around this sin issue that we're trying to solve, let it be done. He's filled with anxiousness. He's filled with stress. But then you go on to read a couple of books in the Bible later that it was for the joy set before him. A bit interesting, isn't it? I wonder why there was joy set before Jesus in that moment, even though he was facing one of the most brutal executions a human can ever face. And we'll come back to that in a second because it's important. But I have another question for you guys. Show of hands in this place if you've ever watched a really, really captivating, really good TV show before in your life. Probably most of us. Awesome. Great. Shout out some of the names of those shows just so I can try to hear them. Oh my gosh. My wife said Gilmore Girls, bro. That's crazy. I knew you were going to say that. Michael Schofield and that. Schofield? Something like that. Anyway. Prison Break is good. The Chosen. Oh, Fire. That's a good show. Oi, isn't there just like nothing like finding a really good TV show to binge where it's just like, I've got the whole day free. I'm going to watch all these episodes. I love it. I love it. And you know, what I find interesting about TV shows is a lot of them are done poorly, like Gilmore Girls, but a lot of them are done really, I'm joking. A lot of them are done really, really, there's so many girls that are upset about that. I'm joking. There are so many shows that are done really, really well, like Gilmore Girls. And what I love is the writing is so good. And in any good TV show, who here knows that over time you begin to start to fall in love with the characters? You're like, yeah, I really care about this person. You know, like, why did Walter White punch Jesse Pinkman in the face? That was really rude. You start to feel the emotions that they felt. You start to get involved in the story that they're in, right? And it's fun. You're like, oh, this is cool. I'm experiencing the emotions. I love it. Now, I want you guys to picture this because I've been here many times before. Pretend it's the school holidays. Who loves school holidays? Me too. I don't get them anymore, but they were good. Thank you. Picture this. It's the school holidays. You're sitting in bed. It's like 10 a.m. You had a great sleep the night before. It's raining outside. Oh, how good. The windows are just slightly cracked. There's a beautiful breeze coming in. That fresh smell of rain's coming through your house. I know where I want to be right now. You're sitting in your bed, you're wrapped in a blanket. The temperature's perfect. It's like, it's not too cold to the point where you're like shivering, but it's cold enough where you can stay rugged up in that thing all day long. Oh, we're all the same. I don't know about the fan. That's a bit weird, man. And so you're sitting in your bed wrapped up. You got your Tim Tams with you. You got your triple butter microwave popcorn with you. Maybe a hot chocolate, a tea. I don't know what you guys drink, energy drinks probably these days. And you're watching your favorite TV show and you're loving it and you're so involved and you're so engaged in it. And I want you to pretend that you're watching this show and the character that you're really infatuated with, the one that you really care about, you've been watching this character's development for like 4 years of your life. That's a long time, right? Now you're watching the TV show and you're having a great time and all of a sudden your favorite character dies. The show's ruined. It's never going to be the same. You start experiencing the grief, the mourning, the loss, the emotions. You're like, that was my favorite character. Why would they do that? And you start crying and all of a sudden your phone starts ringing. So you pause the show and you're like, yes. And it's your mom and she's like, hey, I just finished work. I'm on my way home. Just checking. Did you manage to do the dishes I told you to do in the sink? Or better yet, put your hand up if you had this on before. Hey, did you remember to take the chicken out the freezer so I can make dinner when I get home? Paralysis, sweat. Your life's about to end. My mom's actually watching this right now, so I apologize for all the times I did that to you. Love you, Mom. Isn't it interesting how in a single moment, your entire perspective shifts and you begin to realize that the character you've just spent 4 years watching, developing their story, engrossed in, all of a sudden, even though they've died, is far less important than dishes in the sink or chicken in the freezer. Young person, I want to tell you, some of us in this place have given a little bit too much of ourselves to the world. Some of us in this place have failed to realize the importance of living with eternal perspective. And I want to tell you something. When you live with a worldly perspective, you actually deceive yourself into carrying more burdens than God ever intended you to carry. I want to tell you in this place tonight, I'm not going to point fingers because I don't know who you are. But there are some people in this place who, if we're honest with ourselves, when we leave youth on a Friday night, our priority is not the things of eternity. It's not the things of God. We go home and we live the way that we want to live to please ourselves. We seek temporary satisfaction. We seek things that will feed our flesh. And we go about our weeks trying to fill ourselves in order to make ourselves happy. Only to have a sobering up moment when you come to the altar at youth the next week and realize none of it even matters. I want to be very clear. Life is important. Get a job, study, have a family, raise kids, be fruitful and multiply, enjoy the fruits of your labor. The Bible commands all of those things. But let me tell you, As an eternal being, which you are, how much do you actually think about eternity? Because the reason I ask you that, young person, is we don't rejoice over worldly things. We rejoice over eternal things. Every reason that we rejoice in the Lord is for eternal-based reasons. See, I'll give you an example. We don't rejoice because we get to live on earth forever. We rejoice because Jesus died and paid for our sins so that we could live with Him in eternity forever. We don't rejoice because we got sick and now we get to go pay a visit to the doctor. We rejoice because although we're sick, we serve a God who is able and willing to heal us. We don't rejoice because the world is perfect. It's definitely not. We rejoice because we serve a God who is. See, young person, every single reason that we rejoice is an eternal reason. And I want to tell you that if you live with a worldly perspective, it becomes incredibly to naturally want to rejoice in an eternal God. And maybe if you're in this place tonight, you're identifying, maybe that's you. You're like, yeah, you know, to be honest with you, I actually do seek after the things of the world a lot more. The priorities of my heart is more so filling my flesh and making myself happy than actually thinking eternally, actually doing the things that pleases God. You know, the reason that Jesus had joy set before Him, as I mentioned before, was not because of His actual circumstance. That's impossible. If you put yourself in that position, there's no way you derive any joy or happiness from that circumstance. The joy was derived from eternity because Jesus had on His mind that what He was about to do would pay for our salvation, and He wasn't looking forward to being hung on the cross. He was looking forward to being with us in eternity. It says this in 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, someone say temporary, but what is seen is eternal. Someone say eternal. If you want your natural response to be rejoicing in the Lord, to naturally lean towards restoring joy to your heart, live with an eternal perspective. Understanding these first two points that I've given you tonight will make it easier for you to naturally rejoice in the Lord, to naturally be someone who restores joy to your heart. But let me tell you, rejoicing actually has a cost. It's going to cost you, and you're going to have to pay it. Rejoicing will cost you denying your flesh. It will cost you choosing to still rejoice in the Lord even after you've had a horrible day and feel like you have nothing in your life worth rejoicing over. It's going to cost you to put your phone away and put it on Do Not Disturb and put praise music on in your room and worship and praise before the Lord undistracted. It's going to cost you to jump up and down at the altar and risk looking silly in front of everyone when no one else is jumping. It will cost you to rejoice to the Lord, but that's why my last point tonight is pay the cost of rejoicing. Water break. Was that three? I thought it was like four. Five? 12. Wow. No, I'm at 17:38. I don't know if you guys would get that. Anyway, not important. We're running out of time. Young person, the thing that gets in the way of rejoicing the most is your flesh. And I'll tell you, when things are going bad in your life, your flesh will default to telling you things like, go and eat junk food. Go and scroll TikTok for hours. Doom scroll, brain rot. Watch YouTube videos all night long. Watch videos that you know you shouldn't be watching. All in an attempt to make you feel happy. Let me tell you, the God's honest truth, your flesh on its own will never lead you to rejoice. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict. Someone say conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. Young person, you are a spiritual being having an earthly experience. That's what Pastor Ken says. I love that saying because it's very true. You are a spirit, which means one day when you go to be with the Lord in eternity, your body is not coming with you. Your body is temporal. Your spirit is eternal. So one day when you go to be with the Lord, your flesh will stay here and it will disintegrate back into ashes, dust to dust. And see, we see that the spirit is at war with the flesh at all times. They wage war against one another because their desires are completely different. Your flesh desires to feed itself, and your spirit desires to edify the Lord. So my question to you, young person, is why would you let your flesh that is not eternal dictate the way that your eternal spirit should rejoice? When you're at the altar and your spirit is crying out to rejoice in the Lord, why would you allow your flesh to tell you things like, oh, you look stupid, don't do that. Don't be too loud. The people next to you aren't saying anything, so you're going to stand out. When you're at home and your spirit wants to rejoice and praise in the Lord and restore joy to your soul, why would you allow your earthly, temporal, carnal flesh to tell you that your family is going to think you're weird or you're going to be too loud, you're going to disrupt everyone in the house? Young person, there's a cost that you have to pay when it comes to rejoicing in the Lord again and again and again. And I'd love the worship teams to come up and join me. But let me tell you, everything in this life that is worth doing has a cost. That's just the truth. Everything in this life that requires doing has a cost. And a lot of those things you've got to redo again and again and again. I'll give you some examples. Recharging your phone takes time, takes electricity. It takes you looking after those stupid little cables so they don't bend and break over time. We've all been there. But it's worth it because it means the next day you get to go around with a fully charged phone. Refilling your car with fuel, especially in today's economy, will cost you a ridiculous amount of money. But it's worth it because it means for the rest of the week, you can go wherever you want to go. Recycling is tedious and annoying, and it means sometimes you have to walk around with a plastic bottle for ages until you find a bin to put it in. But it's worth it because it saves the planet. You're right, it is the worst. Reactivating your YouTube premium account because you've been bombarded with ads is costly, but it's worth the money because it means you get to watch YouTube uninterrupted. See, young person, all of the things that we need to do in life require us to do over and over and over again. And the thing is, no matter how many times we do them, they still have a cost. The cost does not deteriorate over time. In fact, for many of those things, the cost becomes even more. So my question to you, young person, is when it comes to rejoicing, why is it that we struggle so much to pay the cost? I'm going to tell you why. Refilling your car with fuel, your flesh will not fight you on that, because although it costs you money, your body loves that Macca's drive-thru. Recharging your phone, your flesh will not fight you on that, because although it takes time and effort, your body will get the dopamine later that you get from scrolling TikTok for hours. Young person, the reason that your flesh will fight you when it comes to rejoicing in the Lord, it's because rejoicing is not beneficial for your flesh, it's beneficial for your spirit. Joy is free to access for all of us, but it actually costs something. But it actually costs someone else a whole lot more than it costs us. See, when Jesus went to that cross for the joy set before him, he did not just pay for our salvation, although he did that. He paid for us to inherit the Holy Spirit so that we could bear the fruit of joy in our lives. Which, young person, good news for you means no matter what you might walk through in life, whether life is great or whether it's absolutely terrible, the joy of the Lord is for you now and forever. I'd love you guys to stand to your feet. You know, the joy of the Lord, it cost Jesus something great. And I would hate to be a generation of people that would so happily allow God to carry a cross on his back up a hill and be brutally crucified by his own creation to pay for that joy, but then for us to choose not to access it because we're a little bit prideful. You know, we're going to do some ministry time in just a moment, but before we do, I want to address some people in the room. We don't have much time at all, so I'm going to do this quickly. But I love everyone in this place to bow their heads and close their eyes. And I'm going to speak to some people in this place. If you're in this place, I want you to ask yourself something. I want you to ask this question. Do I know Jesus for myself? I want you to ask, do I have a relationship with God for myself? See, young person, you might not know this, but God is very real. He paid for your salvation. He came and lived a perfect life, and he died for your sins. He actually died in your place, which means when you stand before God one day and you've called upon the name of Jesus, the reason that you get to spend eternity in heaven is not because you did anything good. It's because Jesus paid for the sins that you've committed. I have sinned. Every pastoral leader has sinned, believe it or not. Every one of you has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Jesus paid for it with his own blood. And so if you're in this place tonight, I want to ask you, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? If not, this moment is for you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And if you want a relationship with God, you want to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, and you want Him to restore your life here on earth, I want you to put your hand up nice and high. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to see you and be able to pray with you. So right now, on the count of three, I want you to put your hand up nice and high so I can see it. One, two, three. If that's you, put your hand up in this place. Christians, you can pray with me as well. Just put your hand up nice and high. You can put it straight back down after I've seen it. We're going to go a couple more seconds. If that's you in this place, this moment is for you. God loves you. He's desperate for you. Don't let this moment pass you by without making this decision. If there's genuinely no one, that's okay. But if you're in this place and you're wrestling in your heart, I really just feel to prompt you to put your hand up right now. I gave my life to Jesus 5 years ago, and my life has never been the same. We're going to go for a little bit longer. I agree with what Matt said. I actually believe there are some people in this place. And so again, if you're in this place right now, I'm actually just going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for every person in this room. Jesus, I thank you for every person that does not know you. Father, right now, I just pray that you would begin to stir a faith and a boldness in their hearts. I pray that you would begin to convict them of their sin, Lord God, that they would know that they need you, Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight that as they put their hand up, they would feel the sense of stepping into family in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Again, if that's you in this place, just put your hand up nice and high. I'll see it. You can put it straight back down. Okay, well, I don't see anyone, but what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer of salvation regardless, because if you're in this place and you wanted to put your hand up but you didn't, I want you to know Jesus loves you, He died for you, and this moment is for you. So we're going to pray this as a family. Just pray this and mean it with all your heart if that's you and you wanted to respond. Say, Dear Jesus. Come on, say it louder. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died for me and that you rose again. Lord, I invite you into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Would I follow you for the rest of my days? In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Come on, we can give it up for the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, really quickly, I think we're going to do the salvation or prayer team, sorry, anyway. So could you guys get your torch lights on? If you're in this place, I want you to turn to the back of the room right now. These are our very ecstatic, zealous lovers of Christ. If you're in this place and you're standing next to anybody, I want you to tap them on their shoulder and say, hey, did you want to put your hand up and did you respond to that prayer moment? If their answer is yes, would you be so bold and take them out to that part of the room? We don't want to take too long, so try to make it nice and quick. We're going to cheer for you guys as you go, if you do go. Awesome, no problem. There might be some people over there, it looks like. We're going to turn our attention back to the front. And if that's you, feel free to just head out the back of the room. No one's looking. You can go privately. But we're going to spend some time with the Lord right now. Is that okay, someone? Come on. Why don't you raise your hands to heaven right now? We're just going to begin to worship the Lord. Come on, just call upon that beautiful name of Jesus as we worship Him tonight. Come on, give Him the attention He's worth it. Come on.